Name, that one of a kind name. There is no name like you.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, glory. Boy, I haven't even started up with me up already.
Glory to God.
The name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
It is the key to the universe. Mm-hmm. Because he created it anyway, didn't he? Amen, amen, amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Amen. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Andre Crouch. Father, we thank you for your word. We come before it reverently, humbly, believing to receive life, nourishment from it, understanding, light, direction, whatever else is necessary to each one of us this morning. Thank you for, and we believe we receive it in the name of Jesus. So it is. So it is. All right. Talking to you about the definition, the Bible definition, what it means to be rich. And the world has its own definition. Accumulation of stuff. I told you this before, but oh, you go just about it. I had a friend once, bless his heart, he's in heaven now. He came from, you know, royalty, actually, even though it didn't get to him.
Yeah.
And was pretty well off, but, you know, didn't have much love, didn't really care. He had just about a lot of same money could buy, you know, but wasn't raised right, you know, and so on. Got into drugs, stuff like that, and was a believer, but just, you know, he's in heaven, so to speak. And so I remember this one time, was depressed, so went and bought a Civic car. Paid cash for it. It was a Porsche. I saw him counting. Went to the bank first, and so forth. And See, that's not rich. That's not rich. That's materialism. When you look for stuff to make you happy, that'll never happen. That's why people without God have a bunch of money. You know, like, what's wrong with me? I should be happy. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. Jesus is not in your life. That's what's wrong with you. My goodness. And so we're talking about the Bible definition, not the worldly definition. Psalm 112, we talked about it. The man is blessed. He's empowered to prosper. There's an anointing on him, on her. Amen. He fears the Lord. He delights greatly in the word of God. Is it? This person is a person of love. It's a man of love. Man with capital M, which means it includes both genders. Genesis chapter 5, we talked about that before. It says his seed, his posterity is positively impacted. And then it says wealth and riches are in his house. I don't know what the unbelieving believers will do with that. Wealth, and as you know, we've defined it as income-producing assets are in his house. And so if wealth and riches are not your house, dear believer, it's not complete. Ought not be that way, according to the scriptures. He says he has light in darkness. Whenever the devil tries to pipe darkness to him, the light of the world shows up and dispels it. He always knows what to do, what to say, where to go, what to think, what attitude to have, because he asked Jesus, and Jesus freely shares it with him. Amen? Light and darkness. This rich man is gracious. He is disposed to show favors, and he can, because he's loaded.
said last week, this man doesn't have the frustration of wanting to help but not being able to do it. My goodness. When the Bible says blessed be a blessing, yeah, this man is blessed and he is a blessing. Woo, glory, Bible definition of rich. This man is a good man. Amen. And we'll talk about so is a good man. We'll talk about how, you know, kind and so forth. I mean, you ought to be, but in in the context of the scriptures, a good man, the Bible says, shows favors and lendeth. See, that's the key. Lendeth. Talking about money. He has enough to lend. And see, as I look over my notes, the Lord, would have me to add to it. I didn't talk about it last time. I talked to you about how that the bank lendeth, you know, because it has plenty. You can't lend if you don't have plenty. So like the bank, this rich man, biblically rich man, has plenty to lend. But his motivation is to be a blessing, not to charge interest. See, that's the difference between he and the bank. Amen. But unlike the bank, this man will not sue you or report you to the credit agencies if you don't bring it back. He will not sue you. If it lands to you and you don't bring it back. Why is it? Because there's plenty over there. Amen. Amen. One reason is because it's never necessary to sue you. Because there's plenty more. And more importantly, this man, this rich Christian believer, absolutely will not enter into strife. See, that's most important. That's most important. They just won't go there. They'd rather forgive the loan and let it go. In fact, they won't just forgive it. They will give it. Here's what you can do. If someone steals something from you, cheats you, defrauds you, you know, naturally you're upset. You know, nobody wants to be, you know, mistreated like that. But you gotta go past that. And here's what you can do. Turn around and give it to them. Amen. Sow it as a seed. Evidently, they wanted it more than more than you did, right? That's why they kept it. Didn't want to give it to you. Not spend days and weeks and years in anguish over it. Can you imagine how nice that was? And how don't go there. Don't go there. That's exactly what the devil wants you to go to. Don't go there. Just give it to them. How do you do that? Say so. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I let go of this, whatever it is. I give it to them. I sow it as a seed. And I thank you, Father, for the return from your hands. Oh, I tell you what, that's the way to live. Amen. 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 In fact, here's something you should never forget. I think I said it before, a long time ago. Do not lend money, do not lend money if you're not prepared to forgive the loan, if it never comes back. Don't do it. If it's money you have to have, don't loan it. Don't lend it, because it may not return. And then you look out in this place of strife, of when am I going to get my money back? No. You could have all that. Okay? Only lend money that you don't have. Woo, glory to God. And this man is in a place where they can do that. Amen. Unlike the bank that wants all his money plus interest. My goodness, what a way to live. No wonder. Only God. You can't operate this way unless you are in God. Amen, amen. Because you know, folks are, you know, I'll give you back next week, next 3 weeks. And then here's 3 months later, they haven't, not only have they not given to you, they haven't even called you. And then they start to avoid you. You know? As if you, and so yeah. If you happen to give money that you really have to have back, just sow it as a seed, get it over with, and just say, Lord, I expect a return from you, because I'm doing this in your name. I wanted to walk in love here. I'm not holding on to this thing. Amen? See, that's how a truly rich man operates. Amen. All these other guys will go and sue you, and you got to give my money back, or else. Strife will cost you a lot more than that. A whole lot more. You talk about anguish in the mind, disease breaking out, and don't know where that comes from, all that. Stress. I mean, it's a proven medical fact, is it not? That all sorts of diseases are caused by stress. So here's the way to just relieve all of that without taking the pill. Hallelujah. Okay, this man is a good man. You can't be a good man if you don't have money to lend. That's the definition of good man. It says it. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. I know that's new to your thinking, but you know, we ought to be willing to renew our minds to the Word of God. And then we'll give another scripture that makes it quite crystal clear, right? Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man liveth an inheritance to his children's children. Talking about money. That's the definition of good man. Those are two scriptures. With two witnesses, let every truth be established. This man has discretion. He has good sense. That's part of being rich. This man's heart is fixed. He said he walks in assurance. He has no fear. Doesn't matter what the economy says, doesn't say. He lives by the economy of heaven. That's a truly rich man. Someday he invests in the Wall Street and all that as the Lord leads him, but he's looking to heaven. No fear. No fear. Thank you, Father. His heart is fixed and established. He is fully convinced this is the way to go. He's not trying it. Hallelujah. He read in the Word. He checked it all out. And that's, the Word says it. This is what we're going to do. You don't try the Bible to see if it works. You know, over there in Malachi 3, where God says, prove me this, he shouldn't have had to say that. Amen? He should not have had to say that. The fact that he said it should have been enough. Neither should Jesus have had to say, verily, verily. Just speaking alone would have done it. The disciples were around him, they knew who he was. He hadn't lied to them or anything like that. So it shouldn't have been necessary for him to preface what I was about to say about truly, truly. I see this. We got to come up, guys. All of us got to come up another notch, you God. Amen. 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 And so ended by saying, this man is a giver. He's a giver. Amen. Ooh, he's a giver. He has something to give. It's not just a give at heart. Again, back to that frustration. Would do it if I could. Well, God wants you to be able to do it. Bless you and make you a blessing. You got to be open to him. You got to be knowledgeable. You got to be open to teaching like this. From a biblical perspective. Amen. Thank you, Father. Alright, here's another part of the scriptures that defines what it means to be rich. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Amen. You know, in the past, I would go to scripture like that, even in my mind, I start having trepidation. Oh, Lord. They will come with a rubber missile. The Lord has told me, don't even go there. Don't even assume that anymore. Put your faith out. The folks are beginning to get this. And they're liking it because it's God's word. So, Malachi 3. Here's a bold heading. A rich man, a biblically rich man. Let me read just the word God gave me. A biblically rich man does not have money arguments with God. He does not have money arguments with God. How many money arguments wreck families, marriages? Beaucoup. Too many. Because they're not doing it the way God wants it done. A rich man, a biblically rich man, doesn't have money arguments with God. He thinks about money the way God thinks about it. He does with money what God wants him to do with money. Amen. Has no money arguments with God. Verse 7. What's happening? Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Why is he saying that? Evidently, the people he's talking to have changed. Amen. They have changed. He's reminding them, I haven't changed. I'm the only one in this equation that hasn't changed. I never will. You can count on me staying put. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away. See, you changed, but I haven't. You changed from my ordinances. And you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will unto you, saith the Lord. But then they said, you said, how shall we return? Now, think about this now. Of all the ways that he could have told them how to return. If you poll 99.9999% of Christians today, if you poll Christians today, 99.999% of them tell them, you return to God with your heart. You return to God with your heart. Yeah, and leave your money, your wallet, and purse. That's what most Christians would say. That's not what he said. Did you know this? I just saw that again. I had that on the line in my Bible. I guess I'd forgotten. He said, but you ask me, how do you return? I'll tell you. I'll make it plain. My goodness. He says, you want to know how you return to me? Well, quit robbing me, for one thing. You know, it's hard to get along with somebody you're robbing. Amen? You know? Oh, friends don't steal from each other. Family shouldn't steal from each other either. He said, quit robbing me. Well, you think I don't know you've been robbing me? You take me for a fool? This is God talking to his people. You are robbing me and you're asking me, how do we return to you? Come on now. Isn't that obvious? Thank you, Jesus. He said, stop robbing me. Will not rob God. Yet you robbed me. But then you want to know how you robbed me. I mean, isn't the word rob plenty self-explanatory? Don't you think? That means you've got stuff that belonged to me. That you won't return to me. Isn't that what the word rob means? You're taking my stuff. You're keeping my stuff. Evidently, your heart has become so callous that you don't even know. You're asking me how. My goodness. I have never seen it that way. As many times as I've talked about this. take it to return, you say, how do I return? Did you know God will never tell you to do something you can't do? Mm-hmm. Never. Never. You may feel like you can't do it, but if you couldn't, really couldn't do it, He wouldn't ask you to do it to begin with. That would be unfair. It would be ungodly. So when He said to them, return, that means they could. Not only that, but also knew how. So all these questions, it's kind of like we do sometimes. Lord, is that really you or me? But we know the whole time, you have the witness of the Spirit. Ooh, brother. Where shall we return? He says, okay, well, yeah, I'll make a plan. You're robbing me. But then you want to know how you're robbing me? I see the word robbing is not clear enough. But you say, where have we robbed you? Well, here it is. In tithes and offerings. That's how you're robbing me. Now what you going to do about it? Are you going to quit robbing me? Or are you going to continue to rob me? My goodness. And most of the church says, Lord, sorry, but we'd rather pay the bank than pay you, the mortgage company than pay you.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's not funny, but it is. I mean, you know, it's just so, my goodness. Is He really the source of all we have? Do we really believe that? If we did, would we? Oh, Lord Jesus. I mean, some of us have the nerve to go to church and talk about how God has blessed us with this, blessed us with that, blessed us with that, and we're robbing Him the whole time. No, He didn't! You blessed yourself with it. Amen. It's about time we're playing about this. Amen. You're adding to yourself. He said, give, and it shall be given to you. He who calls it, if you're not tithing and robbing Him, you've been adding to yourself the whole time. Go to church and give testimony to God and all that. I didn't mean to go this way, folks, but I'm not apologizing for it either. Amen. It's all truth. It's all truth. This is why it was so easy to believe when somebody said, well, actually, tithing is old test. See, just feeds into that. Ungodly attitude. That's not what the folks who are teaching that are trying to say, but that's the impact it has, unfortunately. In tithes and offerings. Point is, this man, this rich man, has no arguments with God. Amen? He doesn't argue with God about money things. His heart is open to what God has to say about money, and he complies to the best of his ability. If you can't do that, you will never be biblically rich. Never. You might accumulate a bunch of stuff. Oh yeah, the mafia have a bunch of stuff. It didn't come from God, did it? The mafia bless themselves every week with this or that and the other. That don't mean God gave it to them. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean God gave you everything you have. Oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the biblically rich man does not argue with God when it comes to money. And these folks were. Let's see what else I love from this about this. Woo! Glory. The rich man is a giver of offerings and a payer of tithes. You know, that's one discussion, running discussion I've held with the Lord for a long time. Do we give tithes or do we pay tithes? Think about it. And I've come to the conclusion that we don't give tithes, we pay them. The tithe is your first bill, dear Christian. Before your electric bill, before your grocery bill, before your mortgage bill, it is your first bill. Because that's the part, your contribution to getting people born again. Nothing is more important than that. It is, absolutely. It's a deal. You said, how do I say peta? Because it says that you robbed me. When you bring the tithe, you're bringing back to God what already belongs to Him. You're not giving Him anything. Think about it. If you loaned me your car for a week and I brought you back, I didn't give you anything. Did I give you anything? If it's your car to begin with? No, it's yours. It's been yours the whole time. You gave me the privilege to handle it. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Look at Leviticus 27. Let's see that. So if it belongs to Him, are we giving it or simply returning it? The fact that He tells people who are not returning it, the fact that He calls them, He says they are robbing Him of it, means He expects, His attitude is, this is mine to begin with. If you keep it, you are robbing me. It's crystal clear. I don't know why I took all that time to have this discussion anyway. So crystal clear. Leviticus 27. Jesus. Look at verse 30. There are plenty of scriptures about this, by the way. And all the tithes, all of it. All of it. And the tithe just means the tenth. And it's the tenth off the top of it. Or your personal income, that is. If you own a business, of course you pay the expenses. It's the tenth of the salary you get from the business. It's not a tenth of the gross receipts. Unless the Lord leads you that way. Huh? It's a tenth of the income you get from the business. If you own the business. If you get a paycheck, then it's a tenth of it. It's a tenth before the IRS takes its part. Amen. Because it's not just, this is not a mechanical thing. It's a thing of honor. And quit counting the pennies. Round it up to the next... Huh? Don't write a tithe $300.10. Round it up. It's a thing of honor. Okay. Woo, glory. I must be a good man. That anointing is on me. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Is that plain enough? All of it belongs to Him. So you don't give Him the tithe, you return it. You pay it. That's like, you get a mortgage or a car loan. And you don't give the car loan company, you pay. Amen? Because the bank wrote a check to the dealership for the entire amount of the car. And the bank is collecting it from you in installments with interest. Is there money? That's why they'll come pick up the car, you know. Yeah. Because the car is theirs too. They're just letting you use it if you make this installment every month. So So you're not giving the car company money. Imagine that. But when it comes to God, we say, we don't give tithes, we pay it. It's the first bill. It's the first bill every Christian has. It's as simple as that. And it ought not be controversial. Amen. Bank of America doesn't do squat for me other than lets me drive whatever, or put a mortgage or something. Huh? What about God? God is responsible for me being alive. I mean, His peace, His joy. I mean, His patience. The fact that I have a sound mind. All of that is due to Him. So why am I going to fuss about acknowledging that all the money I got came from Him? By returning what He said is His portion of the deal. You keep denying, bring me the 10 cents. Why is that such a hard thing to grasp? Unless you think by your wisdom, your works, is how you got the dollar to begin with. If you really believe He gave you the dollar, you have no problem giving Him 10 cents of it. But it's His. It's not like the IRS who come raid you and all that. I guess that's why Christians feel like they can just do whatever they want. But consequently, we are operating under a financial curse. We ought to be the richest bunch of people on this planet. By far. Which is one reason why folks would want to be a Christian. Amen. So there are plenty of that. Plenty of the scripture. It says it is holy unto the Lord. What does that mean? Consecrated, dedicated, separated. That's His. Amen. Rich man, a biblically rich man has no money arguments with God. He does exactly what God says with his money. He's a giver of offerings and a payer of the tithe. We don't give the tithe because it belongs to God. We pay it. We return it to Him. Like I said, if I borrow your car and ride it for a week and bring it back, I'm returning it to you. And if I have good sense, I'll load it up with gasoline, have it all cleaned up, right?
Yes.
Amen. Right. Amen. Mm-hmm. If I have any good sense, that's what I'll do. In appreciation for you allowing me to use your car for a whole week. Amen. I won't bring it back with less gas than I have to begin with. If your rental companies won't let you do that. Amen.
Amen.
Even they won't let you do that. If you rent the car, the gas in it, you bring it back where it was, or they'll charge you with a fee.
That's right.
If a gallon of gas is $2.50, they'll charge you $4 per gallon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we don't give the tithe because it belongs to God. We pay it. We return it. Just like you don't give the mortgage payment or the car payment, you pay it. Because it belongs to the mortgage company. It belongs to the car company. In that case, you return it with interest. Ooh, look at this. Look, we'll stop reading too soon. Go back to Leviticus 27. look at what God says. If you keep it for your purposes, then you owe Him interest. Huh? Verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part of 20%. How you like that? How merciful is He, huh? Ah. how merciful he is. You can just come and say, Father, forgive me, and that's it, that's gone. And then be obedient from then on. But plenty of Christians robbing God every month with the interest on top of it. See, I know your pastor don't teach like this, but it's in the Bible. It is. Absolutely is in the scriptures. Amen, 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 amen. We give offerings. So then only offerings can be multiplied. Only offerings can be multiplied 30, 60, 100, 1,000-fold. Only offerings can be multiplied. Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. You're bringing back to Him what is already His. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And did you notice? Go back to what time have we got now anyway? Oh Lord Jesus. Go back to Leviticus. Go back to Malachi 3. Here's something else that I have even talked about it and talked. But it's not quite that way. It's not quite what the scriptures say, right? And we ought to be sticklers for the scriptures. And if we find out what the enemy is saying, we ought to correct ourselves. There's something here. I'm not going to teach the whole passage, but glory. Look at this. Look at verse 10. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be milled in mine house. I have taught, and I feel like when you tithe, there's meat in your house. He didn't say that. Amen. No, it's meat in my house, God says. The offering is what determines the meat in your house. He says, bring the tithe, the meat in mine house. Not God's house. God's house, not my house. When I tithe, I'm making sure there's meat in God's house, not in my house. The offering is what determines what meat is in my house. Isn't that something? All right, so only the offering can be multiplied, because that's really what, which is why if you read the scriptures, every time it talks about the offering, it talks about the heart, because that's what you choose to do. Now you're robbing God the way the tithe belongs to Him, so you're robbing Him what belongs to Him. The offering, if you don't bring, you're robbing Him of the opportunity of being a blessing to you. That's the difference. That's the difference. Okay, so I wasn't gonna go over that detail, but this morning, I've been thinking about this actually. But this morning, as I went over my notes, the Lord impressed upon me to share that. Here's where we're supposed to begin today. The biblically rich man. Look at Psalm 91. Safety, preservation, is all a part of being rich. Huh? It's not all about money. Money can protect you from certain things. It can protect you from being hungry, being homeless, not having any clothes. But it can't protect you from certain diseases. So the 91st Psalm is also, I call it, I love you too. This is, thank you, Lord. Let me find it. It's a contract. A contract of protection. Did you know that? Amen. The 91st Psalm is a contract of protection. I don't know exactly how I put it, but that's good. Thank you, Jesus. The contract of protection. Amen. And that's a part of prosperity. That's a part of being rich, being protected. Preservation, safety, long life are a part of being rich. Amen. If you die a billionaire at 33 years old, you know, you weren't rich. You just had a lot of money. Like I said last week, there are a whole bunch of poor billionaires. Huh? Amen. Plenty of money, no enjoyment. Family hate them. Don't want anything to do with them. All sorts of stuff. That's not rich. That's not Bible rich. So now the first one, here is what I'm looking for. It's the believer's contract of protection that is pre-signed by the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and awaiting the initials of the believer. You have to initial it for it to apply to you. It's been pre-signed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But just like with any contract, you got to initial it. And that's all you have to do. Amen? They do the hard part. All we have to do is put our initials. How's that work? Well, look at verse 1. Verse 1 of this contract is a preamble. The preamble, the introduction to this contract. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's the preamble of this contract. My. So how do you dwelleth? How do you dwell in the secret place of the Almighty? I'm glad you asked. Look at the first song. Psalm 1. This is how you dwell. Blessed. What does that mean? Empowered to prosper. What does it mean to prosper? To excel and go all the way to the very top. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Did you notice he didn't say that he doesn't walk with the ungodly? Huh? Oh no, he walks with them. He doesn't walk in their counsel. You know, what good is light? A flash, wouldn't you be something? Hey, you are in your backyard with a flashlight at 12 noon. When you got your flashlight, what good is that? But 12 hours later at midnight, now the flashlight can do something. The Christian is the flashlight. So this scripture is not saying avoid the ungodly. Let all your Christians be all the goody-goody ones. As you know, I write the monthly teaching letter. And the title of one was, what was it? Are you friends with sinners? I thought, Lord Jesus, only you could come up with something like that. Are you friends with sinners? I know folks in your sphere of influence that are sinners. They don't know the Lord. Some of them don't want to. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Amen. Amen. He didn't walk in their counsel, but he walked with them. And it was light. But we want our flashlight, we want to have our flashlight turned on at midday. That won't do any good. Did you get that? Amen. He walks, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but he walks with the ungodly. So they can get a chance to see his light. The light of God shining through him. And know there's a different way. This is how you abide. You walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners. No, you sit in the company of the scornful, but your delight, here's how you dwell in that secret place. You delight in the law of the Lord, and you meditate in it day and night. You love the Lord. You love His word. That's how you dwell. You expose yourself to God's word every day, not just Sunday morning. Every day. Anything comes up, you ask, Lord, what should I do? Huh? Where do I go? Amen. Yeah. Traffic, even leaving home. What route should I take today? You have to get in the practice of talking to Him. It's a relationship, right? It's a fellowship. It's not someone you hear from once a week, from somebody else telling you about him. That's how some Christians live. Go all week long, don't talk to God at all. And then go to church, have somebody else, their pastor, tell them what God said. I mean, how would you like to have a relationship with your child like that? Well, you never talk to them. People tell them what you're like. You don't talk. It worked out. Amen? So this is how you dwell in the secret place. Being a word man. You expose yourself to the word continually, every day. My wife and I go to sleep, listen to the scriptures. Someone preach to us. Amen. All right, so he dwelt, go back to the 91st Psalm. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's how you dwell. The secret place. What is this, the secret place? It's a bomb shelter. Hallelujah. The bomb shelter. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you, Father. But when I talk about TNT and all that, this is a shelter from sickness, from disease, from devil, demons.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And his name is Jesus. The name of the shelter is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you get there, you're safe from the bombs of the devil, from sickness, from disease. I've told you, even from pain. Too many Christians tolerate pain. You're not supposed to have any pain in your body. You're free from it. But see, if you don't stake your claim, then, you know, the devil feels like he can slap it on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Safety, preservation, long life are a part of being rich in God.
Amen.
The 91st Psalm is the believer's contract of protection, pre-signed by the Trinity, waiting for us to sign the dotted lines. And so here's the part of it. The dwelleth. Here's also how you dwell. Look at the Proverbs 4. He that dwelleth. How do you dwell in that secret place? What keeps you in that bomb shelter, where you're safe from the bombs of the devil, is the word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. What does that mean? Pay attention. Don't be distracted by everything else. Give time to the word. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear. Incline an ear. Pull your ear. Make your ears hear God's word. After you listen to the weather forecast and all of that. And the best way to do it, first thing in the day. First thing in the morning. Otherwise, the devil will distract you. Bring all sorts of distractions during the day. And by the time you get to the end of the day, you're too tired. You open the Bible before you can read the first verse, you already snore. So first thing. Besides that, first thing means you are honoring him. You're telling him you are number one.
Amen.
If coffee is your thing, grab the cup of coffee and grab your Bible. Take them together. Amen. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Don't let him depart from your eyes. Which means he's not too advisable to always quote the Bible from memory. Put your eyes on the actual words. That's part of how it's fed to you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Would you like us to pray for you, sir? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
How are you?
I'm good. May I pray for you?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I give this man your peace, Father. Thank you, Lord. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I come against every oppression of the devil. He has your peace. Thank you, Father. He's free. I declare him free. He has your jubilee today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What's your name?
Thank you, sir.
What's your name?
Long time no see.
Sorry. What is your name?
David.
David. You've been here before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're good for good. Okay, long time no see. That's what
I brought you a pair of glasses.
You did. Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
They call me David. Currently, my name is Charles.
Okay. Okay. I heard you you know, like you're struggling to breathe and so forth.
Yeah, be careful out of my armory in Springfield.
No, what?
Out north?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful out there. It's my house.
Okay. Okay. Glory to God.
People disappear there all the time because of the security system of mine. What this is?
Thank you.
This would be that back barn on the back side of the house.
Okay. Okay.
This is my house. On the inside, it homes for NDS, Missile Defense Security, the Missile Defense System.
Okay.
I just want to let you know why I got all.
Okay.
Get out of my house. It's my house.
Okay. Okay.
It's real dangerous out there in the woods over across the street, across the railroad tracks, you know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
There's signs up on the trees that they won't tell you. If you walk up into those woods, it'll suck you in to what was an atomic explosion.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for the Bible.
Okay. That's good.
Have a good day.
Thanks for the glasses. I'm giving it back to you.
They're good for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. I receive and I give it back to you.
Thank you for being in this church.
Okay.
You're welcome here in my house.
Let's see. Let me give you some money.
I'll be here after.
He'll be here.
Wait right there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Jesus. How much you got here, honey?
Many blessings upon your house and neighbor.
Can I get three?
How much you got?
I just got three. Yeah.
What do you got?
What do you want?
Once I'm back in it and can organize it, then we
can. You got any money, Greg?
About
money. No, sir. Any cash?
Okay. I don't.
Okay, where are we?
Proverbs 4:20, okay?
A few more minutes and we'll wrap this up.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Alright, so to dwell in that secret place, in that bomb shelter, you pay attention to the word, you give yourself to it. Verse 1, let them not depart from their eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For the word is life unto those that find them. That's the protection. It is health to all their flesh. And then it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. This man, this rich man, this rich believer, stays in the bomb shelter. It's protected. from the bonds of sickness and disease and poverty, all of that. Okay, so the first is, the preamble says, let me see, now let me go back to the first sermon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Sometimes we obey God, we don't know what all it is, but you know?
Yes.
He knows what he's doing, so I was prompted to do that. Actually, I was ready to cast the devil out of him, but when I got there, I guess I may have scared the devil off, so he decided to stay put, but. Thank you, Jesus. Those noises were not natural noises. Thank you, Father. That's not the first song. Glory to God. You know, sometimes we're so scripted that we disobey God. And this is the way it is in our lives as well. You can't be so scripted that you don't obey God. And it's sometimes simple as, you know, how you go to where you're going, the route that you take. And I've had him prompt me to go a certain route, and the traffic was heavier there. I'm like, Lord, would have been slowed over there. But you know, you never, I mean, you just have to obey. Mm. Amen. Because driving to church today, this guy, he must have been going, what would you think, 150 miles an hour? I mean, he passed up like that. And we were going good 70 miles an hour. He went like that. Come down I-35. And so, point is, you take that other route, and that guy will come across you, maybe. Yeah, you don't know what it is that the Lord is trying to protect you from by telling you to do this or do the other. And so if you believe it's him, just go with it. Amen. If you make a mistake, so what? He knows your heart. You were trying to obey him. And he'll fix it. The biggest mistake you can make is not doing because it doesn't make sense to you. Because you don't know. You don't know. Like I said before, I told you this before. I was up there. We went to a conference in Dallas. Our hotel room was way up there. I was looking in the window, looking down on this parking lot across the hotel. And this car comes in, and they're going down. I said, no, don't go there. There's no place to park there. But they didn't know that, because they're on the ground level. I'm looking from up there. I can see that there are no spots where he's headed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I wish you would follow me like that. I mean, as clear as day, like, okay, if I tell you, don't think, well. So anyway. Okay, all right, now the first song. Now, here is where you sign and initial that contract, verse 2. This is you initialing it. Verse 1 was Jesus telling you, giving you a preamble of this contract. Verse 2 is Jesus saying to you, will you say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. Will you say that instead of whining and complaining and, you know, being full of anxiety at the first sign of trouble? Will you say that? If you will, initial here. You know, that is a contract, you know. And if you initial there, then Jesus then goes on to verse 3 and says to you, if so, if you will say, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, here are the, some of the things you can expect. And that starts on verse 3. All the way to verse 13. It's a contract. Surely, who's he? The Father. So Jesus reads you the contract, reads you the prayer of the contract, tells you where to sign, to initial, if you agree with it, and then he tells you about the provisions of the contract. And one of them is,
the Father. Surely the Father will deliver you. If you will say of him, at any sign of trouble, he will deliver you. Are you getting this? This is how that works. If you're not going to say it, then you tie his hands. But if you will say, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, in him do I trust, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, that's hidden traps, and from the noisome pestilence. Diseases of the air. COVID be among those. Okay? He will cover you with his feathers. And under his wing shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. These are the benefits of the contract. The provisions of it. If you initial it and sign up for it. And keep your side of the bargain. This is absolutely part of being rich. Amen. Amen. Okay, my time's up. My time is passed up. I'll go over this again this time. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Are we still on?
Battery.
Okay. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll be long enough anyway. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you. Hallelujah. You're so good. So wonderful. Thank you for the contract of protection. Thank you that we can be truly rich instead of, you know, pseudo rich like the world. That you bless us to make us a blessing. Not only we have a heart to be helpful, be disposed to show favors, but we really can show favors because of your empowerment and your strength revealed through us. We thank you and we expect further revelation. This subject matter. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I didn't know
if I was still on or not. I couldn't tell. Different service. I wasn't sure if I was still on. Hallelujah. Yeah, so. That was a different service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.